Thank you. And now we're going to hear HJR 25. Representative Thomas, just want to introduce yourself and your staff.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Representative Bill Thomas from District 5. With me is Casey Schroeder-Hotch, my right-hand lady for 4.5 years now. Mm-hmm. I would probably be better if I left and let her present it, but, you know.
We're so happy to have you.
Yes. And I haven't been down here yet this year, and I want to congratulate you on the committee. I think this is a great committee. It's probably long overdue. Energy isn't a big issue in the state, especially my region. Anyway, Madam Chairman, my HDR 25 is urging Congress to clarify hydraulic power as renewable. Right now, the federal government does not recognize hydropower as renewable. They use all different terms and categories for water. I think it's because when they build a dam, it's usually a mile wide and blocks the valleys. Up here, we have higher glacial creeks and streams that we want to tap into and have been tapping into. A lot of times, there's very little impact, or very minor or little or no impact on the hydropower that we have. And Madam Chair and members of the committee, I believe I have, I might have 5 in my district now, and we've been building through the years, and most of them are up high enough they don't impact salmon streams, and they're very good. And the idea is to try to use HB 152 as matching grant money funds with federal funds if they can respond and get this change fast enough as we move forward in building the renewable energy in Alaska. We're hoping that if they do make the change and make it renewable, hopefully they'll have funds available as we go across and develop energy, renewable energy in Alaska. So that's the bones of the. And I know there was an amendment. I don't know if we're going to move the amendment or not, but there was.
Well, actually, before we do that, Representative Johansson, could you adopt the CS?
Madam Chair, I move we adopt version E as the CS.
Thanks. Representative Thomas, do you want to walk us through the changes from the bill to the CS? I think you just have 2 changes, I think.
Yep. If Casey wants to.
Oh, Casey wants to. Great.
You wanted to
Thanks for being so eager, Casey.
Yeah. He told me here's the changes. I mean, and didn't mark them in here, but yeah.
Okay.
I'm capable.
For the record, Casey Schroeder-Hotch, Staff Representative Thomas. Both of the changes are on page 2. The first change is on page 2, line 2, and we deleted everything after the word state. So we deleted including Southeast, but so we didn't delineate the regions. We just said the entire state. And then the second change is page 2, lines 4 and 5. We deleted all references to the word dam, and that was at the request of ADA. This resolution is not against dams, so to avoid making any comment on dams, we decided to delete dam.
Great, thanks.
Madam Chair.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Quick question on that. On page 2, line 16, do you want to send it to the president also?
Sure. Yep. Sure.
So would it be acceptable with a sponsor if I made a conceptual amendment to add that on there?
I'm so embarrassed. No.
You'll pay later.
Yeah, I'll pay later. No
the
doubt.
Appropriate time, Madam Chair, would like
okay,
to
thanks.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Yeah.
Okay. And we do have some folks online, some public testimony, so you guys want to just sit tight, we'll go open public testimony and hear the public testimony, and if there's questions you can answer. Thanks. We have Clay Copeland online.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to testify. I want to speak in favor of this joint resolution.
Hey, Clay, can I get you just state your name and affiliation before you start your public testimony?
Sorry, Clay Copeland, the manager of Cordova Electric Cooperative.
Great, and you're just calling to support the resolution?
Yes, and the committee substitutes, I think, improve it. I'm probably preaching to the choir, but hydroelectric, the funding opportunities at the federal level just aren't, it isn't considered a renewable energy. So when funding is available for renewable or alternative energy projects, hydro is generally left out of the mix. And ironically, it's one of the most sustainable. The upfront cost is similar to wind, but the infrastructure is in place many times for 50 to 100 years. So it's really the solution for many parts of the state, and we just want the federal government to acknowledge that. So good work. Continue to be impressed with the work that the Joint Committees on Energy or the Special Committees on Energy are doing for the state. Thank you.
Thanks, Clay. Appreciate it.
And Representative Thomas for proposing this resolution.
He's nodding his head at you. Thanks, Clay. I appreciate you testifying. We'll stay in Cordova. Is Hap Simmons online?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Hap Simmons. I'm the chairman of the board of Cordova Electric Co-op. I'm also representing Ocean Beauty Seafoods as an IPP. And again, thank you very much for this bill. I think it's long overdue. After we got here and signed up to testify, changes came through on the CS. And if I understood them correctly, starting on line 5, the deletions were require little or no dam construction and that terminology was what was removed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's excellent, and thank you all very much.
Thanks, Hap. I appreciate your testimony. At this time, is Robert Grimm online? Robert, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, if you'd like to state your name and your affiliation and begin your testimony.
My name is Robert Grimm. I'm Chief Executive Officer of Alaska Power and Telephone. I'm very much in favor of this bill. It's been very difficult for our company to develop the hydros that we have. When we started in 1995, we were 1% renewable and 99% fossil. And today we are 31% fossil and 68% renewable. And that all the renewable that we put in place has been hydroelectric power. And it's been very difficult because many times we hear the response that hydroelectric energy doesn't meet the current definition of renewable. If you see a funding notice of funding available at the federal level, you go down deep into it, and they will define hydroelectric power as hydro put on a irrigation ditch. Hydro that's incrementally added to an existing hydro. There's virtually no provision for funding for new hydros. And Alaska, being a fairly young state, has not had the opportunity to develop its hydros and is put at a disadvantage. And finally, I think that this would show some leadership of the state of Alaska to solve this dilemma that has been going on for at least the 14 years I've been involved with the industry. Madam Chairman, please pass this legislation, and I encourage the members of the committee to do so also.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate your testimony. Is Douglas Ott online? Douglas Ott?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, if you could just state your name and affiliation and give your testimony.
My name is Douglas Ott. I'm the Hydro Program Manager for the Alaska Energy Authority. And I haven't actually had any prepared testimony today for the committee. I would just say extemporaneously that I'm very much in support of this resolution and feel that it would be a significant assistance to promoting the hydro development in this state.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate your testimony. Jim Hemsath, are you online?
Yes, ma'am, I am. My name is James Hemsath. I'm Deputy Director for Development at the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority and Alaska Energy Authority. Madam Chair, we were here predominantly for questions if anybody needed, but we support the changes that Casey had indicated. We had talked to her yesterday. We were very concerned that the wording as it was would eliminate the potential for a Susitna style or a large hydroelectric power plant. While we don't know yet at this time whether that's an appropriate facility for the state, we certainly didn't want to limit ourselves and are very much in support of the changes that have been noted.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it. Representative Ramos, do you have a question?
Yes, Madam Chair. The reason why I'm opposed to HJR 25, and maybe the sponsor can help me, but I'm concerned about halibut and personal use fisheries. And I wondered what the sponsor could do to help me with my concerns.
We can wipe them out like we're trying to do now. Between the tourism industry and the commercial fishermen, our goals will be achieved.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've been won over.
Thank you, Representative Ramirez. Is there anybody?
The chair.
Okay. Is there anybody else online that would like to testify on HJR 25? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on HJR 25? Great. Let me just state your name and affiliation.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name's Jerry Medina, and I'm the Administrative Officer for Inside Passage Electric Cooperative. Hydropower is a clean, domestic, and renewable energy resource that does not consume more water than is produced by nature. According to the Energy Information Administration of the renewable energy resources that generate electricity, hydropower is the most often used. It accounted for 6% of the total U.S. electricity generation and 71% of generation from renewables in 2007. As you know, hydropower energy is very abundant in Southeast Alaska. Since water is naturally recurring domestic product and is not subject to the whims of foreign suppliers, there is no worry of unstable fuel prices, fuel spillages or contamination issues, transportation concerns, or national security issues. Water is one of our most valuable resources, and hydropower makes use of this renewable treasure. Hydroelectric power plants do not use up resources to create electricity, nor they pollute the air, land, or water. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there any questions? Okay, one more time. Is there anybody online or in the audience that would like to testify on HJR 25? Hearing none, we'll close public testimony. Is there committee debate? Representative Dahlstrom?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wish to offer a conceptual amendment, and I think that the sponsor will be acceptable to this. It's on page 2, line 16, and it would basically just then renumber 16 to 21, but having it start out with copies of this resolution shall be sent to the Honorable Barack H. Obama, President of the United States, and then proceed with the names as they are listed. Joe Biden, the U.S. Senate, on and on.
Is there any objections to the amendment? Hearing none, conceptual amendment 1 passed. Any other amendments?
Madam Chair.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, Representative Peterson wasn't able to make it today. You know, he's got his broken ankle and he's pretty laid up right now. And so he asked me to introduce an amendment. And in talking with the sponsor, I'm only going to offer a portion of this amendment. What Pete wanted to do is he wanted to strengthen it for, you know, isolating Alaska a little bit, but in talking with the sponsor, he may not want to do that, may not want to make it just inclusive to Alaska. But one of the things that I think we need to point out is that Alaska, as was pointed out earlier, does have ample water supplies. This is a renewable resource. It's something that we all agree on. I'm going to read it out loud and then pass it over to you.
You do a conceptual amendment?
A conceptual amendment, yes.
Okay.
And let me read it. It says, whereas regions of the United States outside of Alaska have limited water supplies or water sources that could lead to classifying hydroelectric power as non-renewable, but all areas of Alaska have ample water supplies that are capable of providing a renewable energy source for hydroelectric projects in the state.
I'm object to your amendment just for committee conversation.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hansen.
I don't mean to be a pain, but would it be possible to get that copied and so I could look at it without trying to remember what the representative just said?
Absolutely, Representative Johansson. I'm going to take a brief ease, and we'll have
Are we off the record?
Brief at ease. Representative Tuck.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I plan on removing my motion to a second amendment to take it up in resources to move this along, because I might have to make some further changes, if you don't mind, Madam Chair.
Excellent. And Representative Thomas?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to point out our opposition to part of this amendment, when you read it, members here, was that we didn't want to be specific to Alaska. We may have an ally out there that feels the same, so we want them to get on board and help us with moving of this resolution. So we're fine with making sure it's ready for that.
Okay, great. And with that amendment off the table, we have HJR, CS for HJR 25 in front of us. Representative Dahlstrom?
Madam Chair, I wish to make a motion, if that's acceptable.
Please.
Madam.
Representative.
May I make a comment before we move it out?
Sure.
I just want to put on the record, I appreciate the leadership that Representative Thomas shows with the renewable resources here across Alaska, and specifically in Southeast. We have authorization for interties federally that Senator Frank Murkowski put in there, along with the rest of the delegation. We have Senator Lisa Murkowski, the ranking energy in the minority, and I appreciate his proactive actions to make sure that Alaska is knocking on the door to get our fair share any way we can. And you know, this is something that's kind of bothered me, but I appreciate you introducing this, and I support it fully. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other committee comments? Representative Tuck?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I also want to ditto on what Representative Johansson said. It just never made any sense to me how hydro cannot be renewable. It's just, you know, I don't understand the lower 48's argument, but hydro to me is definitely renewable and one of the cheapest means of producing and generating electricity. So I was really happy to put my name on this sponsor.
Thank you, Representative Tuck. Is there any other further comments from the committee members? Representative Dahlstrom?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wish to make the motion to move the CS for House Joint Resolution number 25, version E, with conceptual amendment number 1 and attached zero physical note and individual recommendations.
You hearing no objections, HGR 25 has passed the House Energy Committee.
Thank you, committee.
Thank you, Representative Chair. Thomas.
You.
Fish.
We'll harvest them all.
Representative, next we will be hearing HB 31 from Representative Kurt Olson.
You get the big one.
You're the honored guest. You get the biggest one.
Hi, welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Kurt Olson, House District 33. With me today is Jennifer Sinnett, who will be carrying the bill. And I'd just like to comment that this bill died during the 25th legislature. It's a rewrite of a previous net metering bill. But
okay. And just for the
Jennifer.
Sure. And just for the members here in the committee, we're going to hear and hold this bill today. We're actually not going to take any public testimony. We're just going to have Jennifer present the bill, and if you guys have any questions for Jennifer, then we can do that. But after that, we will just be holding the bill for today. So thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Jennifer Sinnett, staff to Representative Olson. He's given you a bit of background information. I guess I'll just move forward with a brief introduction of the bill, talk about that for a little bit, and then move perhaps through some of the documents in your packet with a little bit of explanation there. First, the basics, however. Net metering is a simplified method of metering energy consumed and produced at home or a business that has its own renewable energy generator, such as a small wind turbine or solar panels. So in its simplest form, net metering employs a standard electrical meter to record the flow of energy going back from a household onto the electrical grid and going from the electrical grid onto the house. So when the sun is shining, the wind is blowing, and the house is, I say the house, but the facility located on a person's, you know, personal property, like a wind turbine, when this household facility is producing more electricity than it is consuming, then the electric meter runs backwards and energy is sent out onto the utility grid, generating credits for the consumer. When the sun is not shining, when the wind is not blowing, and the household is actually consuming more energy than it is producing, then the meter runs in normal fashion, runs forward, and the household receives electricity from the grid. So at the end of the agreed billing period, then the customer pays for only the household consumption of power. So that's where the net comes from. So that's basically what it is. It's an arrangement that allows customers to offset part of the electricity that they would be buying from a utility, to offset that with what they're producing from their windmill, say, or from their solar panels, and that it offsets it. It's good for the consumer because that offsets energy that they would be purchasing from a utility at the retail rate. And the other thing it does is it allows for grid-tied customers to put excess energy back onto the grid and allows for them to generate credits from doing so. So there's two important things here about net metering that are good for the consumer. One is that measurement here would be done with a standard meter. There's no need for a consumer to, as it is right now, the consumer would need to purchase a separate meter to measure the energy that is going from his or her renewable energy facility back out onto the grid, and that's a pretty costly endeavor for a consumer to do at this point. So net metering would allow for the use of a standard meter that can run in both directions. And the other thing that it does is it eliminates the need for a consumer to buy battery storage for their facility, because basically in a net metering situation, the electrical grid serves as the battery, the storage, because excess electricity is put back onto the grid. And battery storage systems are another really costly thing for people to buy. And so it's really important to people who would like to produce their own energy using renewable energy resources. It's important because it really affects the economics of the whole situation and the payback period if they don't have to invest in a battery storage system and they don't have to invest in a second meter. So that's basically what net metering is in its simplest form, and that's really what HB 31 is all about. It's about providing this net metering option to Alaskans and making it more cost-effective for them to produce their own energy using renewable energy resources. Moving to the bill itself, it's pretty straightforward, but there are a few key points that I would like to point out. Part B addresses the credits generated when a consumer puts excess energy back out onto the grid, and it specifies the rate at which the utility will credit the consumer. And it says basically that these credits can be applied to reduce future amounts owed to the utility. Part two, or the second part of the bill that should be highlighted, is part C. It says basically if credits go unused, that the consumer can sell them back to the retailer, specifies a rate at which that can be done. And part three is another key part, and that's basically an opt-in mechanism for retailers. It specifies that retailers organized as a cooperative, they're actually exempt from the net metering provision, but they can waive the exemption in effect and opt in, so that's pretty flexible for the retailers. Moving on in the packet regarding the fiscal impact of the bill, that's also pretty straightforward. Basically, the numbers that you'll see in the fiscal note that just reflects the addition of one more position at the RCA, utility financial analyst, and that's basically someone who would address the enforcement of net metering provisions and assist in rate proceedings for the regulated electric utilities. And then the remaining pages of the packet here, I think probably most important. I think it's you can see in the map that there's 44 states that allow net metering, but the reality of the situation is, like, you say net metering and 44 states allow it, But the reality of the situation is there's basically 44 different types of net metering. Each state is a little bit different, and there are no two policies that are the same. And that you can really tell in the last pages of the packet, and it goes into a bit of detail about the different policies in each state. And the recognition of the fact that no two states are the same is basically why the RCA declined late last year to adopt the federal net metering standards that were put forth by the Energy Policy Act of 2005. They declined to adopt those because it wasn't specific to Alaska. It was inappropriate for Alaska, and so they said that we'll look at an Alaska specific net metering program. And so basically you can see looking through all this that there is quite a difference in what each state is doing, and perhaps the biggest difference in all of these net metering policies is what each state decides to credit the excess energy that it's put back on the grid. Some states have the utilities credit consumers at the retail rate. Some states have utilities credit consumers at the wholesale rate. Some states are in between. And obviously HB 31 takes a stand on this, is doing this at the negotiated firm purchase power rate. Some states do it this way, some states do it other way. Obviously there's rationale behind the decision to do it this way in HB 31. We can go into that if you wish. Basically that's a brief introduction of HB 31, encouraging Alaskans to invest in small-scale renewable energy systems by allowing them to generate credits and either apply them to their next month's bill or sell them back to the retailer. It makes their investment in a renewable energy system more cost-effective than it might otherwise be without net metering. So thank you for the opportunity to present this, and I think we'd be willing to entertain questions.
Actually, I'd like to make one additional comment, Madam Chair.
Representative Wilson.
This bill was done as a pre-file, and as we entered into the beginning of the year, we found out the RCA had opened up two dockets specifically on net metering. And after conversations with Chairman Pickett as recently as this morning, both of the dockets appear to be on track and should be done later this year, and that's why I requested that the bill be pulled at this point in time. I don't think we need to go any further until we know what the final outcome is of both dockets, so we can incorporate them into either this bill or another bill that you'll be hearing shortly.
Thank you, Representative Olson. I do actually have some people that I didn't realize that had signed up for some public testimony, so we will take some public testimony today too. But are there questions from the members of the committees? Representative Ramirez?
I just want to declare conflict of interest. I'm an alternative energy producer. I can't tell from reading this bill whether it helps me or hurts me. But I made 15,000 kilowatt hours of electricity this year. Pretty excited, but that's all.
Thank you, Representative Ramirez.
That's all.
Any other questions from the committee members?
Madam Chair.
Representative Johansson?
Yeah. You said this was opt-in by co-op, so they can either take part or not take part. And what happens to a municipal power utility like in Ketchikan? Are they addressed in here somehow, or where does my public utility fit into this?
Through the chair, Representative Johansson, the only thing addressed in this bill is the co-ops, and so as far as the municipal, I'm not sure at this point. Have any?
That's all we went after. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Okay, if you guys just want to sit tight, we'll go through some public testimony and okay. Let's go to Fairbanks. Eric Mulling, are you online?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, if you just state your name and your affiliation and give your testimony, please.
My name is Eric Mulling. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm a concerned public citizen. I'm a solar electric producer. I have a 10.5 kilowatt solar array that's connected to the local utility grid. In 1 month, my solar produced power avoids putting more than 1,000 pounds of CO2 gas into the atmosphere because my solar electric power has reduced the need to burn fossil fuels for power generation. Golden Valley burns coal to generate much of the electricity used here in Fairbanks. I would like to speak in strong support for net metering. Net metering, where it is in most states, the utility pays the retail price for power. and this provides a powerful incentive for renewable power generation. Therefore, it serves the public good. It is a public service. It avoids putting CO2 gas into the atmosphere. Net metering will provide a fair payment for solar producers who have their own infrastructure costs and ongoing expenses. Now, it is not surprising that you have received or will receive opposition to HB 31 from Public Utilities in Alaska. Currently, GVEA pays solar producers like myself half of what Golden Valley sells my power for. This isn't right, and it is no incentive to solar producers. Paying half is discouraging. It's just plain wrong. I hope that you can correct this. You have heard that the utilities are paying, their price modeling is based on what they call cost cause or cost payer. Under this rate structure, the more power you use, the less you pay per kilowatt hour. And that is clearly a disincentive to conservation. The net effect of net metering on any electric utility is similar to electric conservation, energy conservation. The customer simply uses less power from the grid. For example, utilities encourage customers to conserve by replacing traditional light bulbs with fluorescent. Well, the electricity from my own solar array would light thousands and thousands of these new compact fluorescent bulbs. I guess I have basically three questions about the bill. I'm not sure that I strongly support the bill, although I support net metering. My three questions are, one, does this bill, if you could let me understand, does this for residential alternative energy producers only, or can someone with a commercial or agricultural operation or a hospital put a solar system on their roof and get involved? Or is this residential only? That's my first question. My second question goes to the bill where it talks about page 2, line 1, is intended primarily to offset all of the customer's requirements for electricity. How do you know intent? And my third question, I guess, is more of a comment. Item D on the second page allows the cooperatives to opt out. You know, if net metering is a good thing, then I see no reason to allow an opt-out. In fact, under these provisions, it looks like the bar is set extremely high if the utility chooses to opt out. You know, it's difficult for Golden Valley to get a quorum once a year. I mean, they practically pay us to show up for these annual meetings. And I don't see how you're going to get a majority of anybody to do anything at Golden Valley. I think that if you reverse the requirement and say the utilities are opted in unless the majority of the membership opts out, then that would be a good thing for this bill. Those are my comments.
Okay, thank you
for your time.
Thank you, Eric, for your testimony. I appreciate that. Staying in Fairbanks, is Dave Garyender online? Gary Edner. From Golden Valley Electric? Dave? Homer, Mike, O'Meara. Mike, are you online with us?
He's on his way back. Could you call on us later? Thank you.
You bet. Matt Sue, Mark Masteller.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yep. If you just state your name and your affiliation and give us your testimony, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Co-Chair. My name is Mark Masteller, and I'm just representing myself today. I live in the Matsu, where we have abundant sources of renewable energy just waiting to be tapped. I support legislation that establishes net metering because it helps greatly improve our energy security and because it can stimulate a lot of economic development, something that is sorely needed in Alaska. And that actually wasn't addressed very much in your early summary of this bill that was done by staff. I was just reading while I was waiting a copy of the latest Solar Today magazine, and they talk about how Illinois, without statewide net metering and interconnection standards, the market hardly responded. So when you get that stable net metering, you can get a lot of economic development from local providers that can help folks do this.
Regarding House Bill 31, there are several aspects I like. I'm very happy that this bill does not have an aggregate limit on the amount of net metering allowed, as I believe a limit discourages participation and thus energy security. I also really like the annual accounting period, so those are great aspects. I'd like to suggest a couple amendments to HB 31, however. First, I believe the maximum system size should be increased to at least 100 kilowatts to encourage future commercial and industrial participation. This is real common in other places. Second, please do not exempt electric co-ops. Most of us in the rail belt are members of co-ops, and without them, net metering would be a lot less effective at promoting energy security and economic development. Third, please do not exempt utilities that already generate with some form of renewable energy, such as hydroelectric. Net metering encourages distributed generation from multiple sources of renewable energy, again, improving energy security and encouraging economic development. Thanks a lot for your consideration and for your time, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to try to answer them.
Thank you, Mark, for your testimony. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And we'll go to Nome now. We have Jim Adams. And Nome, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
If you could just state your name and your affiliation.
My name is Jim Adams. I represent myself.
Thank you.
My comment is this bill represents an incentive for alternate power resources. The one-to-one net meter is fair to those who decide to go this route, and I support any incentive to get off the diesel, what's the word I'm looking for?
No, I'm on hold.
Anyway, to reduce our dependence on diesel-powered fuel jet. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate your testimony today. Hey, LIO. Peter McKay, are you with us? Peter McKay?
Yes.
Hey, your name and affiliation and your testimony, please.
My name is Peter McKay. I'm speaking as a citizen for myself.
Thank you.
Thank you for holding the hearing and taking this public testimony. I'm an advocate for distributed generation. I support homeowner-generated electrical energy, and I support the right of the homeowner to simple and easy interconnection with our retail electrical suppliers via a single bidirectional meter. I've been an active participant in RCA docket R06-005 for several years, since 2006. The time for net metering in Alaska is now, and this will really require coordination between the legislative and regulatory branches of our state government. As you said, you'd spoken to Chairman Pigott this morning. Neither one of these can advance in a vacuum. It has to be a cooperative venture between the Regulatory Commission and the state legislature. I think you've got two bills that are in front of this committee, this bill, House Bill 31, and Representative Seaton's bill, House Bill 66. Of the two, each has its own strengths. The part that differs is the level of detail involved in the one that Mr. Seaton has advanced compared to this bill. House Bill 31 has several things that I have some concerns about, and they are about page 2, lines 3 through 10, subsection B. It is the treatment of surplus energy that a customer generator has left over after a month. This treats it as negotiated firm purchase power rate. That rate, as you know, the rate structure goes from retail, which is, for me as a home or electric customer, that's about 12 cents a kilowatt hour. A firm power rate is what a rate that I would get from a utility for power that I agreed to the time and amount of energy that I was going to put on the grid. In other words, I have a contract with utility that specifies both time and amount. And that price is around half the price of retail, give or take. The next one is called non-firm, which is, again, a contract between me and the utility to provide power. But this time it's not specified either the time or the amount. It's just whenever I have it, I can put it on. And then the last one is avoided cost. And that's basically the cost of fuel. That does not include any of the overhead. It doesn't include the mortgage on the generator or the lineman's cost or the transmission cost. So that's the way the rates break down. Now, this bill, House Bill 31, proposes to be a firm power rate. Well, that it could be worse. I would like to see a retail credit that's rolled over to a full year and then pay that price at the end of the annual settling up period. And that's how House Bill 66, Mr. Seaton's bill, treats surplus energy. The Regulatory Commission, in the March 4th hearing that they had on net metering, proposed the engineering chief, James Keene, proposed a straw man proposal. And their way of dealing with surplus energy was essentially to give avoided cost. So in other words, as I consume energy during the month, the meter spins one way. As I generate during that month, it spins the other way. But at the end of a month, all we're going to be credited with is avoided cost. So essentially, there's a and this is the meat and potatoes of net metering. This is what's going to tell whether people are going to participate or not. And so you can see that between what the Regulatory Commission, what Representative Seaton's bill and what Mr. Olson's bill have are just like the summary at the beginning said, they're all over the map. And essentially, this is the reconciliation that has to take place between the various branches of our government to make net metering happen in Alaska. So there has to be a cooperative relationship, and I encourage this committee to work with the commission. I'm sure they'll be glad to help you. Other problems I have with this bill have to do with the requirement to exempt cooperatives. This is clearly unfair to customers like myself who live in Homer, who buy power from Homer Electric. I really think it's discriminatory to limit participation just because of where somebody lives and what structure their electric provider happened to organize under. So I think you have to look at it in terms of what is most fair for a customer generator. Whether the person lives in a village or lives in downtown Anchorage or lives in Juneau, we should all have the same opportunity to put our home-generated energy back onto the grid. And I don't think we should discriminate against people because of the size of the community or the structure that the electric utility was set up under. So the third issue I have with House Bill 31 is the 25 kW limit. Now, this is fine for home residential systems, and in fact, this is what really interests me as a homeowner. I want to put my energy on the grid. However, in the future, the thing that makes penetration happen is the larger industrial or small commercial customers who will actually put considerably more energy on the grid than I will as a homeowner. So those are the 100 kW limits. I really support increasing the amount to 100 kW. Interstate Renewable Energy Council program talks about, many utilities go up to the megawatts before they exclude customer generators. So, yeah, anyway, that's it. I'm sorry to take so much of your time. I appreciate you hearing my testimony.
Sure.
Thank you, Peter. We have a question from Representative Ramirez.
Hey, Peter. Jay Ramirez, I have a solar panels up in Fairbanks, so I'm very engaged in this and interested in the discussion of net metering. And Golden Valley is a co-op, and when I spoke to them about precisely this subject, they were really bent on the subject or on the point of view that their obligation is to provide the very cheapest rates to their co-op users, and they were adamant that none of the costs of hooking up net metering, which is expensive for the utility, should pass on to the ratepayers, and that was why they posed an objection in my conversations with them. And then on a second point, there's something that you might want to look into, which is fascinating and would be a great innovation for Homer Electric, is the program that we're in, which is modeled after Chelan, Washington, which is the SNAP program, the Sustainable Natural Alternative Power Program. And Chelan, Washington, Chelan County was the first one to do it, and Golden Valley is the second one in the country to do it, and it's a great application. You might want to call Golden Valley at 452-1151 and ask for a guy named Todd Horner, I think, and he can tell you what they do up there, and it actually pays 50 cents a kilowatt this year to users and is a better incentive for green power in some ways than net metering is. So you might want to contemplate that.
Thank you. And we have probably about seven more people to testify, so I'm just going to ask folks to, we only have 15 minutes left before the committee ends, so if we could just keep our comments brief. We'll go to Homer, to Mike O'Meara.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, just state your name and your affiliation, and please give us your testimony.
Sure. My name is Mike O'Meara, and as you said, I'm in Homer. I represent the Homer Electric Association Members Forum. HEA Members Forum is an ad hoc group of about 350 people that are members of HEA who support anything to help move us away from fossil fuels into more renewables. HEA Members Forum advocates net metering standards that are as similar as to those set out in PURPA as possible. In order to move along as quickly as possible, I'll try to be very brief. Obviously, you're aware that net metering can provide several valuable things to all of us. One is to save on energy costs. With net metering, I can offset my electric bill with power generated on site. One point I would like to make is that this is really no different than using less energy by upgrading to a more efficient refrigerator. In both cases, I demand less power from the utility. That's an important point to remember. Jobs are important, and net metering can help promote economic development in our area. We have many technical people here who are poised to help with the installation and development of these net metering options. Of course, it supplies clean energy to the grid, and it allows people and small business to contribute to the energy solutions that we need, reducing the amount of energy that has to be produced by the utility. Okay, let's cut to the chase here. With respect specifically to HB 31, we support an annual accounting period over a monthly accounting period because that will allow us to maximize renewable energy installations benefits. That's because there are periods of time when solar production with a solar array is better certain times of year and worse at certain times of years. This is true for wind patterns as well, so that wind turbines can produce more energy in many sites during certain periods of the year than they can in others. And only by allowing this accounting over the year can we realize those benefits from those kinds of installations. Excuse me. We oppose the exemption of rural electric cooperatives pending member approval. Other people have spoken to this issue, so I won't elaborate. We also oppose crediting on the negotiated firm purchase power rate. We prefer the language in HB 66, which credits in kilowatt hours. I, for one, am not interested in selling energy to anybody. What I'm after is that crediting kilowatt per kilowatt that allows me to reduce my requirements from the utility. We encourage increasing the installation size limit from 25 kW to 100 kW for the same reasons that were mentioned earlier today, to allow participation in a meaningful way by businesses. Final language that will establish true net metering for all rail belt utilities in a timely fashion is another thing that we encourage. We don't feel that time should be wasted. With respect to one comment that was made regarding SNAP, Homer Electric is attempting to initiate a SNAP program, but in analyzing the record, it's clear that the few SNAP programs that have existed outside over time do not provide the dependable payback that net metering does. There's a declining payback over time. And this is a real problem for someone willing to spend a great deal of money on an installation. So SNAP is not equivalent to or an adequate replacement for net metering in our thoughts. That's really all I have right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your testimony. Do we have Ms. Adsett online?
Hello?
Yep. Give us your name.
Sorry about that. It's Margaret Adsett.
Okay.
Good afternoon, members of the House Special Committee on Energy. I'm sure you guys have had a long day, so I'll keep this short. My name is Margaret Adsett, and I'm testifying today on behalf of the Alaska Center for the Environment as their energy coordinator. I'm here today to speak about House Bill 31 and offer a couple of recommendations or amendments to this bill. To give you a bit of background about Alaska Center for the Environment, otherwise known as ACE, is a non-for-profit environmental education and advocacy organization that was founded by a group of concerned Alaskans in around 1971. ACE now hosts over 6,000 members who find expression for their conservation values through membership in ACE's values of balance, common sense, and long-range stewardship in managing our natural resources. ACE's energy vision is to inspire individuals, businesses, and government entities to permanently think about renewable energy, energy efficiency, and energy conservation as permanent, reliable solutions to growing global energy demands. It is for this reason that ACE supports the idea of establishing a statewide net energy standard, as introduced in House Bill 31. House Bill 31, however, has one major problem which I recommend removing from the bill. And Section D under House Bill 31 exempts co-ops organized under AS 10.25 from net metering if the majority of its membership votes in favor of waiving the exemption. In addition to this, members of these utilities would have to wait until the Regulatory Commission of Alaska adopts a regulatory procedure for an exemption waiver vote for utilities under AS 10.25. It is important to note that the biggest cooperative utilities fall under this provision, and these are the biggest utilities along the rail belt. Section D will also not only waste ratepayers and RCA's time, but will prevent a decision being made on net metering in the state of Alaska for several years. This completely undermines net metering work that is currently being done through the RCA, as mentioned earlier, and can lead to uneven application of net metering in the state, which will disrupt the potential economic development, including job growth in the net metering sector. Once again, I would like to emphasize that the Alaska Center for the Environment is behind the development of net metering in the state of Alaska, provided that it occur in a timely fashion that allows for an even application of net metering across the rail belt. For this reason, I believe that Section D should be amended from this bill. Thanks for your time, and I hope you get to the rest of the
Thanks, Margaret. I appreciate your comments. Dave Gary Ender?
Dave Gardner, Golden Valley Electric,
Fairbanks,
Alaska.
Really ruined your name. Okay.
Hey, Dave.
Do you just want to give us your name and affiliation and start your testimony?
Yes, again, Dave Gardner.
Oh, sorry.
Vice President for Marketing and Member Services for Golden Valley Electric in Fairbanks.
Okay, you can continue.
Thank you. For the last few years, Golden Valley Electric Association has very successfully promoted and encouraged participation in our Sustainable Natural Alternative Power Program known as the SNAP Program. We believe the SNAP program meets the needs of our members and the co-op better than net metering. Because SNAP is voluntary and self-supporting, it, unlike most net metering programs, does not cross-subsidize costs for producers by members who choose not to participate. Also, because SNAP producers share the funds collected from SNAP contributors, GVA's program compensates SNAP producers at a higher rate than they would receive through net metering programs. That being said, Golden Valley is participating in the Regulatory Commission of Alaska's Net Metering and Interconnection Standards workshops. Golden Valley believes that if the state were to adopt net metering and interconnection standards legislation, that the Regulatory Commission should be the agency tasked with oversight and administration of the programs. Therefore, Golden Valley encourages the committee to delay considering statewide net metering legislation while the Regulatory Commission is investigating these issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave, for sticking with us. Phil Steyer from Chugach Electric. Phil, are you online? Robert Reagan from AMLP.
I'm here, Madam Chair.
Okay, would you like to state your name and give your testimony, please?
My name is Robert Reagan. I'm testifying for the Light and Power Department of the Municipality of Anchorage, more commonly known as MLMP. MLMP believes and has previously argued before legislative committees and the RCA that it's self-evident that net metering would be a potentially very large subsidy paid by ratepayers of utilities to a few fellow customers who are in a position to own and operate net meter generation, and it therefore violates the cost-causer, cost-payer principle. I won't belabor that point here. Instead, I will urge you to consider 2 points. First, the RCA has developed an extensive record on this complex and potentially dangerous issue, and it's doubtful that many legislators have had the time to become familiar with the full RCA record. MLMP believes that it would be unwise for the legislature to preempt the decisions that the state's expert regulatory agency will make after due consideration of all the arguments. Second, any law with the possibly far-reaching consequences of net metering should apply to all utilities equally, except where there's a compelling reason, such as small size, to exempt some class of utilities. The bill under consideration here applies to investor-owned and municipal-owned utilities, but exempts cooperative utilities with no justification whatsoever that we can see anyway. So in summary, MLMP believes that the legislature should not preempt the RCA, which has all the necessary authority to require net metering if it's in the public interest. And if the legislature feels that it must preempt the RCA on this matter, it should do so in a statute that respects the cost-causer, cost-payer principle and affects all Alaskan ratepayers in the same manner. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Robert. Is Dean Thompson from Alaska Power Association online?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Dean, go ahead.
Thank you. Madam Chair, my name is Dean Thompson, last name Thompson. I am an attorney representing the Alaska Power Association. The Alaska Power Association is a statewide trade group representing almost 40 municipal, cooperative, and other electric utilities throughout the state. And I know you're short on time, Madam Chair. I will keep this very brief. I'll give you the punchline first. The Alaska Power Association, like other speakers before, encourages the committee to hold off on any legislation to allow the RCA to complete the work that it has already been that it's already begun and that it has been working on since 2006. The RCA opened a docket in response to federal legislation that required the RCA to consider whether to implement a federal net metering standard. The commission declined to do that, but in an order issued just in February, opened two dockets to expressly consider an Alaska-specific net metering standard and a interconnection standard that would be specific to Alaska needs for renewables. There also was a technical workshop attended by industry representatives and net metering proponents in March that I think went a long way towards bridging a lot of the gaps between the two sides. And so I would really encourage this committee to allow the RCA to do the job that they are trained to do and that they have the expertise to do, as well as a considerable record
upon which to make a decision that's in the best interest of utilities, utility customers, and those who seek to install consumer-owned generation. Lastly, I just want to emphasize, APA and its members are certainly not opposed to renewable generation, and they are not even opposed to those customers who want to offset some of their load with their own generation. But as it stands now, under federal and state law, a consumer generator already has the right to sell power to an electric utility. And that right has existed. And what this really comes down to is some people don't like the price that power is worth. But in my mind, that's what a lot of the any dispute comes down to. But I think the RCA and all of the stakeholders have actually made some progress in these recent rounds, and I would encourage this committee to let that process be completed. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Dean. I appreciate your testimony. Is Rich Gazaway online from RCA?
Yes, I'm online.
Rich, did you want to offer any testimony, or were you just online for questions?
Madam Chair, I'm here to respond to questions.
Okay. Is there any questions for the RCA from the members? Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to testify on this bill? Seeing and hearing no one, I'm not going to close public testimony because I think there's some people that wanted to testify that didn't get an opportunity, so we'll just hold the bill. And with that, Representative Olson, thank you. Is there any questions from the committees or comments before we adjourn the meeting?
No? Thank you again, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Jennifer, great job.
Thank you.
And with that, I will adjourn the House Special Committee on Energy at 5 o'clock.